I want to welcome each one of you to the services here today. It is good to look out upon the audience on this, the last AM service of the year, and see so many of the pews with people in them. It would be wonderful if we were able to look out upon the congregation and see the building filled to capacity, but we'll work on that. It is a wonderful time to be gathered here, and I want to talk about time this morning. Time is something that we all have, something that we all use, but perhaps we don't use it to the best of our ability. Our text this morning is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. If you'll turn there, you'll find that the Spirit has the Apostle Paul write to the brethren in Ephesus. And he writes to them this particular, what we have as the 16th verse, an admonition. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know, as we spend time, we have birthdays, we have anniversaries, we have graduations, and we come to this time of the year each year. And it makes us conscious of the passing of time. You know, you stop and think about it. Just 12 short months ago, we were anticipating the beginning of 2018. Now we're anticipating the beginning of 2019. And it will take me 3 or 4 months to get used to writing that. But time is something that continues to pass on. Psalms chapter 90 and verse 10 is one of the many passages that remind us that time is most precious. It's something that we all should be aware of. It tells us, the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet it is our strength to labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. I think as we walk the earth, we think that we are owners of time, and we're not. We are simply stewards of time. We have been given time. And one day, we will stand before the Creator of heaven and earth and of all things, and we will give an account for how we have used whatever amount of time that has been graciously afforded us. Today, we live in a time in which we have likely more labor and time-saving devices than even the generation before us, yet we all are busy. We're too busy to visit or to be visited. You know, I remember when people used to sit on front porches and talk. You can't go to a restaurant now and see people sitting and talking. You hear people talking and some people trying to out-talk the others and that sort of thing. But as a general rule, at the table, there'll be somebody with an electronic device in their hand. They'll be texting or playing a game or looking at their calendar or whatever the case may be. And these things are what I'm talking about when I say labor and time-saving devices. But we're still too busy to visit or to be visited. We're too busy to enjoy home life and companionship with our families. It used to be that families spent time together. Now the family is going 5 different directions at once, or 6 if there are 6 in the family, and have way too many things to do. We're too busy sometimes, or think we don't have enough time to grow in Bible knowledge. Sometimes we don't feel or act as though we have enough time to gather together to worship the Lord and prepare ourselves for eternity. Our text presents to us this morning a sobering challenge, one that we need to look at as we are approaching the beginning of a new year, the ending of this one. Redeem the time. In other words, use it wisely. How do we use our time? When we look at this admonition, this challenge, redeem the time, it perhaps brings a question to mind. Why? Why would I redeem the time? Well, the Bible tells us because the days are evil in our text. Let's look at that aspect of it today. Christians, according to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, are to see to it that they are not in fellowship with darkness. The truth of the matter is, folks, that there is evil all about us. And there are those that are in fellowship with darkness, but Christians are told not to be that way because darkness is evil. In Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. It's not just enough to stay away from evil. We have to reprove those who are involved in it because we are redeeming the time. You see, sins once committed in darkness are now paraded about in broad daylight. You say, well, what do you mean? Listen, 50 years ago, it was unheard of, or at least it was scandalous, that a man and woman lived together as husband and wife, not having joined themselves together in the holy bond of matrimony. Today, it's common practice. Oh, here's the schedule. Finish high school, and if you go to college, that's okay. Meet somebody, get engaged, move in together, and then get married. That's not God's plan at all, folks. That is a work of darkness, evil. I could go on and spend a lot of time on a number of different things that are done that used to be done in darkness, or the things that used to be hidden or done in secret because they were shameful, that are now done out in the open. People don't care. But we are to reprove them. Why should we reprove them? Because time is short. You know, we look out on our lives, and we've all done this as young people, but as you turn to Psalms 39, 4, and 5, I want you to think about this, especially you young people. Us young people. I'm going to put myself in that category. We think that we have a lot of time left. Do we? The psalmist was directed to write, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity. We do not know how much time that we have. In James chapter 4 and verse 14, a very familiar passage along these same lines, one from the old Psalm 39, James chapter 4, verse 14 tells us the same thing. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. We often look toward tomorrow, don't we? People say, what are you going to do tomorrow? Oh, I've got a few days off. We're getting ready to start a new year. But then James is directed to write, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanish away. Every year, we find those young folks, energetic folks, that are about to graduate from high school, about to move on toward times of higher education. And then we see their names in the obituaries. These people that thought they had plenty of time out in front of them, a life cut short. It happens. It happens with young people still in school. It happens with young parents still raising families. It happens with middle-aged parents. And it happens with the old. We do not know how much time we have. Therefore, we need to exercise the wisdom of the crane and the swallow. You might say, well, what in the world is he talking about? Well, I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 7. We see a passage here that would, perhaps if we applied this to ourselves, if we stopped and contemplated how short time is, or that we're only going to be here just a really brief period of time in the great scheme of things, perhaps our actions would be a little different. It tells us, yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people not know, or know not the judgment of the Lord. The application is here. These creatures of nature realize that they have a span of time, and they do those things which are inherent to them by nature. And yet, we think that we have all the time in the world in front of us. We need to redeem the time because of the tragedy and the consequence of sin. You know, we've talked about some animals, the crane and the swallow or the turtle or whatever. There's something about man that's different than these animals. Man has a soul. And man sins. Have you ever stopped and thought about it? All of God's creation, only man is the one that can sin? Think about it. When an animal does something that's improper, it's not a sin. It's a bad dog. That's what you're telling, a bad dog. But it's not a sin. He's not broken any laws. In Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, as God was writing to his people in the Old Testament through the prophet Isaiah, he was telling them of this thing. We need to be aware of the consequence of sin. We need to be aware of the tragedy of sin. He said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. We need to understand God can do anything. But God has laws. And when you break those laws, you separate between you and God. Because it says in verse 2, but your iniquities, your sins, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. You say, oh yeah, that was the Old Testament. That was way back then. That was when it was the Old Testament law, the Ten Commandments. Well, let's go to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. We'll see the law that applies to everyone that is living in this, the final age of man, the final dispensation of time. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But I want to focus on the first part of it, the wages of sin. If indeed we sin, we're going to be paid accordingly. Why is it important to think about, to contemplate, to redeem the time because of the tragedy and the consequence of sin? Because the time of departure or death is coming to every one of us. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, a passage that is very familiar, one that we all have heard many different times. Oftentimes, it is misapplied. But it tells us, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. That doesn't mean that there is a set day for you. In other words, when my number's up, I was on an airplane one time, and the fellow beside me was very nervous. And I said, you don't fly much? He said, not a whole lot. I just hope my number's not up today. I looked at him serious as I could be and said, I hope the pilot's number ain't up. Then I tried to talk to him about his soul or what would happen if his number was up. He didn't want to talk to me. I guess maybe I started out wrong. This is not saying that everybody has a specific moment in time and when they are going to die. It's not like God is sitting up there with a board or something and looks out and says, oh, it's so-and-so's time. Click. It doesn't work that way. We all are appointed unto death. We all will be judged for how we live here on this earth. We need to live as did the Apostle Paul. Now, all of his life was exemplary. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, he was directed by the Spirit to write to this young preacher, Timothy. First, he said in chapter 4, verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered." In other words, he had redeemed the time. He had used his time as he should have. He also said, "In the time of my departure is at hand." You know, we never really know exactly when we're going to go. But it's going to happen. We need to be aware of the fact because the judgment is coming. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, we've already read. But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Keep in mind that this was written to the church. All of the church is going to be judged. "And to the Corinthian brethren, the Spirit had the apostle Paul write, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Why? "That everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad." You're not going to be judged for me, thank goodness. And I'm not going to be judged for you. You're not going to be judged for your spouse, nor the spouse for you. Whatever you have done, we ought to redeem the time, because now, right now, is the day of salvation. Why would I even bring that up? Oh, because of all the things we've said, we don't know how long we have. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time." Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, you hear a lot of things about time. Many slogans and sayings and that sort of thing. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Well, that's a very true thing. But today might very well be the last opportunity that you have in order to become a child of God. Redeem the time. That walk to bring about a question to us: how can I redeem the time? We need to walk in wisdom toward them that are without. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, we find another passage that uses the phrase "redeeming the time." Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, he tells us in verse 6, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man." How are you going to answer every man? You got to know what to answer. How are you going to know what to answer? You spend your time in the Word of God. This includes teaching them the gospel. Matthew 28, 19 through 20, when Jesus came to his disciples, he will tell them something that would replicate down through the generations. Continual, perpetual. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." This redeeming the time includes walking worthy of the gospel. That means setting the proper example. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 is the passage that I have pulled for this. Have you ever heard anybody say about somebody else, "If that's Christianity, I don't want any part of it"? Somebody's not setting the right example. Somebody's not redeeming the time. In Ephesians 4, 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." We are called to be sons of God, called by the gospel. Therefore, he would have us walk as though we had been called. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, in that great Sermon on the Mount, when he handed out all of those Pentecost pointers, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Why do we shine? Not so people will see us, so they will see God in us. We're redeeming the time. It perhaps would cause one to say, "Why are you the way you are?" Oh, what a door of opportunity is open now. "Why are you different than I?" Another door of opportunity. But that requires that we develop and grow and mature as Christians. The formula for redeeming the time is not hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, take a pew, and wait. That's not the gospel plan of salvation. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized is absolutely part of it. Remain faithful unto death is absolutely part of it. However, we must grow. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. We see in this general epistle that bears the name of Peter, the Spirit had him write, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me how much we can apply this to the things of the world. Well, I don't know anything about geography. Oh, we're going to send you to school. We're going to give you a book. I don't know anything about mathematics. Oh, yeah, we'll take a class. And people say, well, I don't know anything about the Bible. Let's have a class. I ain't got time for that. You see? What's fair on one side ought to be fair on the other side. We are to grow in the grace and the knowledge. And here's a key, folks. If you don't grow in knowledge, you forget about the grace. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. These Hebrews people who had known about the coming of the Messiah, who had been told in their law the prophecies regarding Christ, had actually lived in the time of Christ, had seen that he was crucified, had perhaps seen him after his resurrection, who had the honor to hear the gospel preached unto them, and who had had time to grow. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again that which be the first principles of the oracles of God. We've already discussed this. We know those first principles are not the gospel plan of salvation, but the previous things in the law which pointed to Christ. But they ought to be teachers. They ought to be ones to telling other folks about the Lord. They are becoming such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Are we redeeming the time? How many of us need a diet of milk? How can we redeem the time? It requires making and taking time to read and study the Bible. Psalms 119, verse 105. Another passage from the psalmist, given to him by the Spirit. It says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, it causes us to go a certain way. Just as it was read in our scripture reading this morning in verse 2, Psalms 1. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, it's amazing to me as we talk about redeeming the time, that we have time to do what we want to do. We make time for what we want to do. But do we make time for God? Who do you think created time? Who do you think gave us time to use? But no, we don't have time for God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, a very familiar passage. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If more people would do this, more people would grow. And if more people would study and more people would grow, more people would be working, redeeming the time, realizing how short it is, realizing that there are lost souls out here in our community that are leaving, departing this life, unprepared. It requires taking the time to worship. As you turn to Psalms 122 and verse 1, I can't help but remember how many hours there are in a week. Right at the moment, the specific number escapes me. But I know that the services of the Lord here in this place equate to about 4 hours a week. If we look at all of the numbers of hours in a week and we divide it by four, we look at the percentage that four is, how much percentage of the time that God has given us, and he's given us all the time that we have, how much of that time do we spend for God? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. How many of us are glad when Sunday comes? Not because of the day off. But because we get together with the people of God, to come in the presence of God, to worship, to sing praises, to show not only to the Lord but also to our fellow man how much we love Him. The Hebrews brethren, Hebrews 10:25, we find, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We know that specific situation existed there when there were those that were being called out of the church back into Judaism. But notice, if you will, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is. There are some who forsake the assembling when they could be here. Are they redeeming the time? It requires to redeem the time, taking the time and putting forth the effort to pray. How many of us put any thought into our prayers? Dear Lord, bless me and mine. We're thankful for everything. Amen. How many of us think about the benefit that we receive from prayer? And not just the gimmies. Not just the Lord, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me that. But how much do we think about the fact that when we are kneeling in prayer, or when we're lying in bed before we go to bed, before we go to sleep, and we're communing with God in prayer, that how close we are to God. How many of us stop and think that if we redeem the time and take the time and the effort to pray, we will continue to draw nigh unto God. James tells us, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. Jesus points out to these people, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. This particular event was when there were those who were praying long, pretentious prayers. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to build your vocabulary just in order to pray. But God knows how much time we spend in prayer, how much time we don't, I should say, spend in prayer. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Again, that does not mean that you go around muttering a prayer all the time with your hands folded. It means that you keep yourself in a condition and a situation whereby you may always go to God in prayer, and that you spend a lot of time in prayer. Redeeming the time requires that we take the time to properly train our children in the ways of the Lord. I mentioned that this morning. I'm very concerned about the church in many, many places, whereas the constituents or the congregation, the people, the members, are getting older. And we see churches literally dying out. Why? Because there are not young people being taught that will carry on. What is the church of tomorrow in Mooresville, North Carolina? We have to redeem the time today so that that can be. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, passage again that is pulled out of context many times. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. It doesn't mean that a child will not make his decision once he gets older. They will. The child, when they become an adult, will make their own decision. They will decide how they will redeem the time. That's a fact. But Proverbs 29, verse 15, goes right along with sermon a week or so ago. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bring his mother to shame. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It takes time to raise a child and to raise that child properly and to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It doesn't mean, well, we just go to services. Our family's always gone to services. That's not what that means. How much do our children, in being taught how to redeem the time, see us study? Hear us pray. Put spiritual things ahead of physical things. And while we're at it, when we talk about redeeming the time, it requires that we take time to be thankful. I think this is a problem with many Christians today. We don't take time to be thankful. There are those that never mention the blessings of life. There are those, when you ask them how they are, some people you don't want to ask, because they'll tell you. And sometimes they get a little graphic. But we need to take time to be thankful. How many of us have not been blessed? Of course we have. If nothing else, we've been given time. Oftentimes in our prayers, some of the men will say, for those that are outside of the body of Christ, we pray that God would give them time. He's done that. He's given them time. You know, maybe they haven't received the direction. That's where we come in. But we've also been blessed with a number of other things. And yes, we can always see the flip side of the coin, the downside, the hurt, the pain, the suffering. But if we live in this dispensation of time and we have the opportunity to be saved from our sins, we have been blessed. Colossians 3:15. We find a passage written to the Colossian brethren by the pen of Paul, directed by the Spirit, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You know, if we just did a comparison, Christians in the first century and Christians today. Christians in the first century, no electricity. No thermostat on the wall. Can't turn the heat up. Had to walk everywhere they went. They gather together, sing praises unto God, and then somebody comes in with a whip and beats them or drags them off to prison. And yet, they prayed. They sang. They did what God would have them do, and they were thankful for the opportunity to do so. Today, we live in comfort. And there's not a soul here that doesn't live in comfort. We have food to eat. We have mode of transportation. We have electronic devices that help us keep up with our time. And yet, we don't have time. And we're not thankful. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 is another passage that talks about giving thanks. Notice what it says to give thanks for. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. Are we to thank God for the temptations and the trials? Well, of course we are. The trying of your faith worketh patience. All of these things are here in order to mold us while we are here, while we have time, so that we are proper in the sight of God. Giving thanks for always, for all things unto God and the Father in the name or by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, life is short. You're not promised tomorrow. There are some of us who are making plans for the new year. My son once said, our son once said, he had plans for the new year. He was overweight. He said, you know what my plan is? Get taller. Doesn't work that way, folks. I've got a plan for the new year. Part of that plan is maybe lose some of the holiday weight that I've gained this year. But that should not be my only plan. I should look back on the time that I've spent this past year and say, what could I have done better? How much more faithfully could I have been to God? How much more faithfully could I have served God? How much more diligently could I have studied? And then I need to say, if God grants me another year, I will strive to do those things. Don't be like those of old who said, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. You have the opportunity, and you have the time right now to enter into a covenant relationship with God in accordance to His plan. Become His child and start working on redeeming the time that you have remaining, preparing yourself to go and be with Him. The gospel plan of salvation is very simple. One is to hear the word of God. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 33, we're told this. One is also to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and Jesus Himself told us this in John 8:24. And in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, it is required of all to repent. It said, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Likewise, all are required to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then one must be baptized into Christ. You know, Saul was a candidate for baptism. He believed. He had obviously repented. He confessed. And in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Ananias said to him, and now why tarriest thou? What was he saying? How are you redeeming your time? Arise. Be baptized and wash away thy sins. That's when the clock starts over, folks. When you are baptized into Christ, the clock starts anew. That doesn't mean you're going to get 60 more years. That doesn't mean you're going to get 40 more years. That means that from that time forward, you have a different relationship with God. You have become His child. And the time that you have remaining, you redeem it. You use it wisely. And in so doing, live faithfully until death. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 tells us about one, and it happens for many different reasons, who have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They slip up. They are again entangled therein and overcome. And it tells us the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Don't be that way. If indeed you are a child of God and you've allowed sin to enter into your life and reign therein, you need to come back to Him in repentance and prayer. And that's what Simon was told in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. The song of invitation chosen this morning is Time Enough Yet. Time's going to run out, folks. Don't let it run out on you. If you need to respond to the invitation this morning and be baptized, we're here, we're ready to assist you, and we're here ready to assist you as you begin your walk in the kingdom. If you're a child of God and you've allowed sin to enter into your life, we're here to assist you as you make that journey and redeem the time. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing the all three verses, verse 1 and 4, I'm sorry. Okay.